You have your Bibles, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to talk about influences that rob our spiritual passion. So we're hoping to finish up this 2 Thessalonians tonight. You know, I just want to just briefly review this second epistle. Paul was such a wonderful missionary pastor to this church. And in chapter 1, you may recall that he commended them for their growth in the midst of their trials. Their faith was growing, their love was abounding, their patience was increasing, their testimony was encouraging others, all in the midst of suffering and trials and persecution. Chapter 2, he corrected the false teachings concerning the end times that were confusing them. And he also encouraged them to stand fast, to hold to the traditions that had been passed on to them. Then in chapter 3, he warned them about their spiritual enemies. And, you know, you think about what we talked about last Wednesday night, that we are all in spiritual battle and prayer. He taught them to pray for one another. And not only did he teach them to pray, but he modeled this prayer life before them. Several times in this epistle, he prays for this church. And so Paul, he not only taught them, but he modeled it for them. He practiced what he preached. And so what a blessing he was to this church, and as he was equipping them to live out their faith and stand fast for the faith. But before he concludes the letter, he warns them about some influences that can rob them of their spiritual passion and their stand for the Lord. I want you to think about this, that our adversary doesn't just use false doctrine. He doesn't just use temptations and fiery trials to undermine our faith, but he uses certain kinds of people to bring us down spiritually. This is a very important truth. And when I first looked at this passage, I was really concerned at how I was going to preach it. But as I prayed over it and began to look at it, I began to realize what it was all about. You know, there are people that, if we're not careful, they can bring us down spiritually. We really got to be careful what kind of people we spend our time around. It's very important. It's not only important we spend time with the Lord and spend time with the Word of God and spend time in prayer, but it's important we spend time around the right kind of people. And, you know, these people that can bring us down, by the way, I want to tell you, they may be Christians. But we're going to look at the kind of people that we need to be aware of. And the first that we're going to look at in verse 6 and 7 is the disorderly. I want to go ahead and read this passage here in verse 6 and 7. He said, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he had received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you." I'm going to stop right there. He talks about a brother here, so he's talking about a fellow Christian that is walking disorderly. He says to withdraw yourself from that person. What is the person that's disorderly? This person is one who not only refuses to walk according to the traditions that were passed down to us in the Word of God. Remember, I talked about the word traditions. It's not man-made traditions, but it's talking about the truths that the apostles were passing down before they had the scriptures, before they had the New Testament complete. And so he told them to stand fast and hold to the traditions that they had been taught, whether by word or by epistle. And so that's the traditions we're talking about. We're talking about the Word of God here. And so these people who are disorderly, they refuse to walk according to these truths of the Word of God, both in teaching and living of these truths. But also, there are those who cause problems and influence others to follow them. So I want you to think about that. The people who are disorderly, they refuse to walk in the truth, and they're also seeking to influence others to follow them. Here are some synonyms that I looked up. I looked up the word disorderly. I typed in synonyms, and this is what I came up with. Unruly. Disruptive. Troublesome. Disobedient. Out of control. Mutinous. Seditious and rebellious. These are just some of many of the synonyms that could describe a person who is disorderly. And so I want you to get that concept in your mind of what kind of person we're talking about here. Someone that's not walking in the truth. Someone that's rejecting what's being taught from the Word of God. Not only that, but they're actively trying to influence people over to their side and to follow them. And so they're troublesome to a church and to us as Christians. You know, I was looking up the present tense verb of this verb walketh. He uses here of the brother, every brother that walketh disorderly. It's present tense indicates it's a deliberate course of action. And so when we talk about a person who's disorderly, we're not talking about an occasional lapse. You know, every Christian here tonight, every one of us, we lapse from time to time, don't we? Sometimes we lapse in our prayer life. Sometimes we lapse in our Bible reading. Sometimes we lapse in our joy in the Lord and encouraging others. Sometimes we just go through a season of discouragement. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a person who is deliberate. Someone who, by deliberate course of action, they are disorderly by persistently practicing being disorderly and disruptive. You know, Paul had already told this church, if you'll look back in chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians, in verse 14, he said, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly." He's talking about those who are disorderly. And so in his first letter, he said, warn them. There were some people that were unruly and disorderly in the church. And so he told them in the first epistle to warn them. Apparently, the problem still remained. And so now he's telling them in the second epistle, withdraw from them. That means stop associating with them. Stop keeping company with them. Why? Why? Because their conduct and their attitude is adversely affecting other Christians. You know, this is a great truth. It really is. I mean, some people, some Christians, you know, because of their desire to show mercy, which we need to show mercy. We need to be merciful. But there are times we need to realize someone that's persistently going in a course away from the Lord, and it's deliberate, and they're affecting other Christians, that's when we draw the line. That's when we withdraw from them. Because if we don't, they're going to affect our spiritual lives with the Lord. And, you know, this principle could be applied in many ways. I want you to think about it. If you hang around backslidden Christians, you're going to be backslidden. If you hang around people that gossip, you're going to gossip. You hang around Christians that are critical of their church, you're going to be critical. We got to be careful about who we hang out with. Instead of following the disorderly, notice what he said in verse 7, "For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you." So he's saying, you know, you ought to be following us, not those who are disorderly. And so, in other words, we should be following those that are serving the Lord, that are walking with the Lord, that are passionate about serving the Lord. If we hang around people like that, it's going to help us be that way. They're going to encourage us. We should hang around Christians that are really on fire for the Lord, because if we do, it's going to influence us to be on fire for the Lord. And so the application as we look at this tonight is, it's a personal separation from people who are deliberately disorderly. And you know, if it's affecting the church in a significant way, and I believe these verses are, he's actually talking about church discipline, though I'm applying it tonight to personal, our personal separation, who we spend our time with. We need to be very careful about the people we fellowship with on a regular basis. So that's what I'm preaching tonight. But I believe he's also addressing this church about discipline. And if even according to our bylaws, I mean, if somebody is significantly causing disruption in the church, that are being disorderly, it calls for church discipline. But we'll talk about the purpose of this withdrawing and discipline later. Let's look at the second kind of person, not only disorderly, but the lazy. In verse 8, he says, "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." I want to just say before we address the lazy that our aim in life as a Christian is to please the Lord. It's to walk worthy of the Lord, to serve the Lord with joy, with passion. And this passion for the Lord, it should carry out into our everyday life. It should include our work ethic. We work with purpose and intention, not just to provide for our family, but to glorify God. And, you know, you remember the message Sunday morning that I preached about, we're living such a way to make Jesus believable and beautiful. We're to go to work with purpose. We're not just going to make money to feed our family. That's one of the reasons, but that's not our main purpose. Our main purpose is to show forth his praises, to lead people to Christ, to point others to Jesus. If Christianity doesn't find its way into the everyday fabric of our life, our Christianity, listen to me, it's worthless. Amen. Yeah. There's a lot of worthless Christianity today. It's name only. It doesn't carry out into the everyday fabric of people's life. How we live, here's your quote, if you're looking for that. How we live every day says much about what we believe. Think about it. How you live every day says much about what you believe. If we believe God's word, if we are followers of Christ, then we'll take that to work with us. We'll take that to school with us. We'll take that home with us. We'll, you know, how we work will reflect on the one we claim to worship. But going back to the text here, apparently there were some people in the church that were taking advantage of the generosity and compassion of zealous Christians. You know, I want you to think about that statement, because I want you to understand we're talking about people that will rob our passion for the Lord. People that are like this, you know, at first it's okay, you help, and then when they don't help themselves, when they don't work, and they're continuing to depend on you, they go from person to person. You know what it does? It robs you of your joy and passion for the Lord. Amen. Another word, and you see up here, I know that's, some people think, man, Pastor, you're really mean. These kind of people are leeches. I'm just being descriptive. What does a leech do? They suck the blood out of you. They suck the life out of you. These people, they would not work. They were going around taking advantage of Christians that were working. I'm not trying to be mean or criticize or judge these type of people, just to show you how these kind of different kinds of people can, if we're not careful, they can hurt our spiritual life. They can rob us of our passion for the Lord. They can really discourage us. You know, yeah, I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. I want to help people, but there comes a time where you got to realize sometimes you help people to their hurt. There's a book I haven't read in a long time, but I read when I was a missionary, but it was something like that, Help That Hurts or something like that. I can't remember the title, something like that. And, you know, in Africa where we have a lot of leeches, I'm just being honest, a lot of them. That's my wife. But, Pastor, can you give me a CD? I'm hungry. I don't have nothing to eat today. But that was everywhere we went. I mean, if we gave to everybody, we would have been broke for sure. But I had to learn what kind of help to give people that wouldn't hurt them. And you know, we have to be careful too, that these kind of people that can hurt us spiritually, our personal lives. You know, these, or the kind of people I'm talking about here, is they always want your help. They always expect your help. They always demand your help. They always take your help. But they rarely respond positively to your help. They drain you spiritually. These kind of people, they'll feed off your time, your attention, but not off of your life and your example. Well, I won't go too much further there, because I think you get the point. Paul and his missionary team, you know, they not only taught people to work, they not only taught good work ethics, but they modeled that before the church. Look again in verse 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. Naught means for nothing. He said, we didn't just go around as beggars eating other people's bread for nothing. He said, we wrought. In other words, we worked with labor. Labor, this means to toil to exhaustion. And travail. Travail speaks of pain. I mean, they were working hard, is what he's saying. And he says, night and day, we were working. Notice that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we did not have power. And what he means by that is, being an apostle, he could have told his church, you need to support me so I can be in the full-time ministry. There's nothing wrong with that. But he was teaching them something. He said, we did not do this because, he said, we wanted to give you an example, meaning example. We wanted you to follow our example. He knew that in this church there were people that were lazy leeches. They need an example. And Paul laid out the example. He taught and he led by example. In verse 10 it says, "For when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." So that was his teaching. That's what he taught. And the imperfect tense of this verb commanded indicates he repetitively taught them. It wasn't just once. He issued this many times, he told them. Trying to persuade those who were disorderly, trying to persuade those who were lazy to go to work. Now, we got to realize there are some people that are disabled and they can't work. We're not talking about those that are disabled. We're not talking about those that are retired and, you know, we're talking about people, able-bodied people that won't work. I mean, somebody that works hard and they lose their job, we should help them. I mean, they couldn't help it. They need help. They have a family. They're looking for another job. But we're talking about somebody that's just won't work. Amen. That won't work. Paul said in 1 Timothy 5:8, I'll put it up on the board there, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially of those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." That's pretty strong. He's saying you're worse than an unbeliever if you don't provide for your own family. You've denied the faith. So we have to beware of these kind of people. I'm not saying we don't love them. I'm not saying we don't pray for them. We should encourage them, just like Paul was. But we shouldn't enable them to continue that way, and we shouldn't also allow them to steal our joy in the Lord and our passion for the Lord. The third kind of person Paul mentions is the busybodies. In verse 11 and 12, he says, "For we hear that there were some that walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." Busybodies. These are people that meddle in the business of others. They go around tattling. Why are they meddling in other people's business? Because they don't work. They don't have nothing else to do. They're going house to house and meddling in other people's business and tattling. And by doing this, they were disrupting the body, the church body. They were causing people to lose their passion for the Lord. How many of you have heard this? Idleness is the devil's workshop. It is. Idleness is the devil's workshop. People get idle, they try to find something to do. And usually it's not good. In 1 Timothy, so you got that. They were meddling in the business of others, tattling. 1 Timothy 5:13 says, "And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." You know, these kind of people are very hurtful to churches, very hurtful to us as Christians. Don't hang out with them. Don't hang out with them. Because they will affect you. They will influence you. 1 Peter 4:15 says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." You know, I found it interesting that he puts busybody along with a murderer and a thief and an evildoer. That's how bad it is. It's not good. Amen. It's not good. And notice verse 12. "Now them that are such." See, Paul, he's trying to help them. He loves them. Now then that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. In other words, stop going around tattling. Live a quiet life. Go to work. And eat your own bread. Stop begging. Stop mooching. Stop being a leech off of other people. That's what he says. Mind your own business. You heard that. But notice verse 13, but ye brethren. Now he's going to give some exhortation to the faithful. After warning about the kind of people that can rob us of our spiritual passion. Listen, I just want to say this again before we go to the next points, that be careful who your friends are.
Amen.
Be careful who you spend a lot of time with, fellowship with.
Amen.
If the people you're spending a lot of time with are not passionate Christians, then you need to make some changes. You need to make some changes. Some final exhortations. Don't be weary in well-doing. He said in verse 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Now, I want to share what this next little statement, the disorderly, the lazy, the busybodies have the potential to greatly discourage even the most faithful Christians. Even the most faithful Christians. And it's because a discouraged church is an unhealthy church. Paul seeks to encourage the faithful. He warns about these kinds of people that we need to withdraw from, not to have anything to do with, because, and he's going to explain why in a moment. But then he encouraged them, don't you be weary. Don't you allow these kind of people to keep you from being faithful and doing good. Don't let others discourage or weary you. Instead, ye withdraw fellowship from those that are discouraging and negative and tearing you down in your walk with the Lord, and commit yourself to serve the Lord. So don't be weary in well-doing. Another point he says, take note and keep away from the disobedient. Verse 14, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Take note of people that are not the right kind of people for you to hang out with. Take note of them. And he says to keep away from them, not to keep company with them. Why did he say not to keep company with them? So they can be ashamed and repent and be ashamed of their behavior. That's one of the purposes. We're not trying to be mean. And I want to say that not to have no company, that doesn't mean we're to be snobbish. That doesn't mean we're to be holier than thou attitude. That doesn't mean we're not to be friendly and to those kind of people. We're to love them just like anybody else. We're to show them the same kind of love we'd show a passionate Christian. It's just that we're not going to devote ourselves to them. We're not going to fellowship and spend time with them like we are with passionate Christians. You know, if I see one of these kind of people in town, I'm going to treat them just like I'd treat anyone else. I'm going to be nice to them. I'm going to greet them. How are you doing? How's your family? So I want you to understand the spirit of what Paul's saying here. He's not saying in the sense that we become unchristlike. But he says, have no company with him that he might be ashamed. But notice verse 15. Well, let me, before I go there, fellowship with passionate Christians who love the Lord. That's what that point is. Fellowship with passionate Christians who love the Lord. And then the purpose of withdrawing is so these disorderly Christians will be ashamed of their behavior and repent. But let's go to the last point. Seek to restore them and not make enemies of them. He said, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. We're still treat them as brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, or we're not to treat them as enemies. Seek to restore. That's the purpose of discipline. In church discipline is always to restore. That's the end goal. You know, when you discipline your kids, what's the goal? To restore them, correct them. When you discipline your kids, it's not to kick them out the door when they're, you know, just toddlers and say, well, you're on your own now. I mean, that's not what it's about. I mean, you discipline because you want them to be ashamed of their behavior. You want them to get things right and do right and learn to do right. And so it is in church discipline. And so it is in our personal separation from people. It's not so we're not trying to be mean. We're not trying to be snobbish. We're trying to protect our own Christian life and we're trying to help them. And so our purpose is not to make them our enemies, but to pray for them and admonish them. Admonish them. This word admonish, it means to put in their minds. In other words, put in their minds sound teaching. It means to warn or to reprove. So that's what it's talking about, admonish. So we are to love them. We are to admonish them, and we are to pray for them. But don't allow them to influence us. Don't allow them to influence you. Don't allow them to rob your passion of the Lord. And you know, I just want to say that I know some people, I don't want you to take it wrong, but I know early in my ministry that I used to be troubled also with Christians that had nothing to do with church or being faithful. I mean, it just seemed like no matter what we did, they wouldn't come. I mean, just once in a while, they'd come. I ended up spending a lot of my time trying to help those kind of people that never brought fruit. When there were people in my church that were passionate about the Lord that I didn't give a minute to. And I don't want you to take me wrong. We pray for those people. We should once in a while go visit them. We should try to encourage them. But what my point is, we don't devote all of our time to them. Because they're going to rob us of our spiritual passion. But I tell you where we should invest our time is in people that are hungry for the Lord. People that want to learn. People that want to grow. What did Jesus do? Yeah, he preached to the multitudes. He was pretty rough on those that were not obedient. He's pretty stern. But who did he spend his time with? The 12. Why? Because they were his followers. They were passionate about it. They were teachable. And he invested in them. And then what happened? They turned the world upside down. So we have to be wise and be balanced. We don't just totally neglect these people. That we don't give all of our time to them either. I want you to notice Paul closes with a prayer. We're almost done. I want you to notice prayer, verse 16 through 18. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. I love that. The Lord of peace. You know, the Lord is, he gives peace, doesn't he, Carrie? And he's praying here, this closing benediction, this prayer, Lord of peace himself, give you peace always by all means. And then he said, the Lord be with you all. It's by the Lord's peace and his presence that we can stand fast, that we can hold fast. He says, the salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You know, grace and peace. He starts his letters usually with grace and peace. He ends it with grace and peace. We need the grace of God, do we not? Amen. You need the grace of God to stand fast to the truth, to hold fast to the traditions, to be faithful in the Lord. You need his grace, his peace, his presence. God has equipped us to do that. But he wants us to know, Paul wants to warn us as a church, beware of certain kind of people. They can hurt our church. They can hurt you as a Christian. Beware of them. Pray for them. Admonish them. And you know, what really led me in this direction was I was looking over some notes of some time ago that we went through this little training with Brother Bennett. He was teaching us over Skype about how to keep our spiritual passion. You know, I'm preaching on the spiritual disciplines on Sunday nights now. We started the first one. If you want to feed and fan your passion for the Lord, you need to practice the disciplines, prayer, and we're going to talk about others, the Word of God, feasting, daily feasting on the Word of God is what we talked about. But also, we have to realize people around us influence us. And you know, not just those people we talked about, but if you have a mentor, you have somebody that's a peer, those people encourage you. It's the lukewarm Christians, it's the leeches that take away our passion. But it's our mentor and our peers that are passionate for the Lord. They encourage our passion. And so there's a lot of things we have to think about if we want to be passionate for the Lord. Maybe that's why a lot of Christians have lost their passion, because they stop practicing the disciplines, they hang around the wrong kind of people. Or maybe somebody in church just really burned them and they just got out and they won't come back. That's what these kind of people can do. They can literally cause people to leave the church, leave serving the Lord. So be aware of these kind of people. And pray for them, admonish them. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, sometimes, Lord, we go to your word and it's things that are not necessarily easy to practice or easy to preach. And Lord, but they're needful. And Lord, we're thankful that your word helps us in all areas of our Christian life. And Lord, as this church was experiencing spiritual attacks, they were being persecuted, there were false teaching being spread in the church, and there were certain kinds of people in the church that were disrupting the church, the unruly people that were just causing havoc, and people that were lazy and leeches that were just taking advantage of the generosity of Christians. And it was just really affecting this church and their love for you. Lord, help us be aware of the ways that our adversary works, how he uses various different strategies to get us away from you, to attack our faith, to rob us of our passion. Lord, help us to be aware of these different ways that he works, and so that we can be wise and that we can keep our passion for you. Lord, we thank you for what you've taught us tonight and pray you'd help us to practice these things with wisdom and with care. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.